you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to be in Psalm 24, Psalm 24. And I want to encourage you, those bookmarks that you have, if you've gotten one of those, to begin reading. Today is the day that we started, and I would encourage you to read all through the rest of the month, because they're going to be in Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms all month as we read, as we're looking forward to His second coming. So this season of Advent is not just a looking at what He did in His first coming, though we will look at that and we celebrate that, that Jesus came to save sinners. But we're also looking forward to His second coming, that He is coming again. And so this month, let's be intentional, let's focus, let's not allow all of the worries of the world and the Christmas season and all of the gifts and the buying, but let us get our minds settled and focused on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and gather in your presence today. And I pray, Lord, that we will see you for who you are, the majestic, sovereign Lord who rules and reigns. Father, help me to preach plain and clear. I realize and understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in His name that I preach. Amen. When we read the first two verses of Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers, reminds us of the hope that we truly have. Because what we can do is we can realize and we can listen to the news, read the news, and see everything around us and begin to wonder what is going on. As we have the tension and the division of our nation bubbling like boiling water, and the sexual immorality that has surfaced and among our nation, and we see the depravity of mankind as clear as the morning sun, we wonder, is there hope? Is there hope? Is there someone who is in charge? And Psalm 24 begins by letting us know that the earth is the Lord's. The earth belongs to the Lord. God is not in heaven shocked by what's going on the earth. He owns the title deed. He's not shocked at mankind, for ever since Adam and Eve and the fall, mankind has been depraved and have went their own way. No, in fact, nothing is new under the sun, Solomon says. There is nothing new. We think, and as I read, I read, you know, pastors from other centuries, from the 16th century, 17th century, 18th century, and read pastors and theologians of those eras, and there's a common theme that I hear when I read those. Here, number one is this: the world is out of control. In every generation, it has been the acknowledgement that the nations are in uproar. And the other thing that I find common is that the church is carnal. that the church is not seeking the face of the God of Jacob like they should. And so as we think about our world and we think about the situations and we think about, it seems like nations are in upheaval and the rumors of war and all of those things, we find our hope in knowing that the Lord owns everything. He owns the earth. And all who dwell therein, there is not one person who has lived in the past. There is not one person who lives presently, and nor will there be anyone who lives in the future that is independent of God. Do you realize that? Every single person, whether they be saved or lost, are dependent upon the Lord, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all who dwell within it. And so here's what we got to realize. There's nothing new under the sun. There's always destruction and chaos, even among our political system, nothing new. You think of the historical greats. You think of Alexander the Great and his conquest of the nations. Did he do that just for the good of his people? Do you think Julius Caesar, Pompey, Mark Antony, Octavian, even the orator, senator, Cicero, were all of their intentions just simply for the good of the people of their day? Power, greed. It's still that way today. We're still that way today. We see corruption in all forms of politics. We see corruption in our Hollywood. We see corruption in the news media. There is nothing new under the sun. But here's the thing. God will and does use whoever he chooses, whenever he chooses, to do what he please. There is no one that's independent of God. He has a plan from eternity past to all the way to eternity future, and he is in charge and he is in control. So he will take a man like Octavian, that we know as Caesar Augustus, and he will set him in the rule of Rome. And Rome was a unique empire. It was a broad empire. It covered a large geographical location. And one of the unique things about Rome was their roadway. The Aspian Way and was a clear road where they could travel, and you could travel all throughout the world. And they were big on building and making sure that the roadways were there and secure. Also, you could travel all over the Roman Empire and you could do trade and business. Why? Because they had one currency. For the purpose and the intentions of Rome was a one world government. And so Caesar Augustus is ruling Rome at that time, and he believes himself to be a god, an emperor, the most powerful person in the known world. But yet, while he's reigning and ruling in Rome, God in heaven is about to send the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, Psalm 24 is a psalm where David is bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had been captured, and they had seized it once again and recaptured it. And as they were bringing it back to the tabernacle, to its rightful place, to the place where it would be put in the tent of meetings, in the Holy of Holies, there would be singing and shouting and dancing. And as David would be bringing in and they would be ushering in the Ark of the Covenant, there would be shouts of joy and celebration. And as they came close to the tabernacle, it would be as if they were singing and praising. Lift up your gates, for the glory of God is coming in. Because when you're in the presence of God, blessings follow. Because when God's presence was among God's people, they were blessed. And the question is, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. The one who does not lift up his soul to what is false, does not swear deceitfully, and he will receive a blessing from the Lord and a righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek his face, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Not anyone could just enter into the presence of God in the Old Testament. You had to be pure without defect. There was a cleansing that must take place. And if you are cleansed by the sacrificial blood of the sacrifice from the priest, then and you are his people, you may enter his presence. And so the answer to that was those who have been cleansed by God. Because not just anyone could enter into his presence. We look at this psalm and we think, how does this apply to us? How does Psalm 24 apply to us? Because if we look at the question, who shall ascend to his holy hill? And we ask that question and we hear the answer, only those who have clean hands and a pure heart. I don't know about you, but if that's the answer, I'm in trouble. Because if I have to have clean hands, if it depends on me for clean hands and a pure heart, I fail. Because I have to admit to you that there is sin in my heart. There is sin in my mind. There is sin. I have sinned. I have fallen short of God's glory. I cannot cleanse myself and make myself worthy to enter into his presence. So I'm in trouble. Who can enter the holy hill? Who can climb up that hill? Who can enter into his presence? Only those who have a clean hands and a pure heart. If that be the case, it might seem that we're in trouble, wouldn't it? It might seem that we're without hope. But here's the good news of the Advent. Here's the good news of this season. There is hope. Why? Because in the glories of heaven, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, he saw that there was none righteous, no, not one, and he stepped out of heaven and entered into the realm of the earth, and he took on flesh. And Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, the God-man, 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time, entered into our world. The gates of heaven flung open. He walked through them and into humanity. And while he lived a sinless, perfect, clean life. He ministered for 3 years. He opened up blind eyes, healed the lame, made the mute speak, the deaf hear. And he lived a righteous, holy life. Who alone was worthy to climb up the hill? Psalm 24 was a liturgical psalm. It's a psalm that the Jews would sing on the first day of the week. On Sunday, the first day of the week, this would be a psalm that would be sung by the Jewish people. As Jesus ministered for 3 years, at the closing of his ministry, it was time for him to enter into the city of Jerusalem. And he comes riding in on a donkey. We call this Palm Sunday. And as the people were there, they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest. And they were laying down the palm branches. It's very likely that when Jesus was going into the city, that Psalm 24 was being sung. And the shouts of the King of Glory, open up the gates, open up the doors, so that the King of Glory may come in. And Jesus came in and he rode. But just a few days later, those shouts of Hosanna would be changed to the shouts of Crucify. Crucify. And Jesus, in his reckless, overwhelming love that he had for us, went to battle for the redeemed. He was arrested under the hands of the Roman Empire. He was beat to almost, he was dead and he was nailed to a wooden cross, and every beat and every blow and every, when the nail went through him, he was the warrior battling for his people. He came so that we might be set free. He came to deliver, that anyone who will believe in him and trust in him will be set free. And as he hung on the cross, as they nailed him on the cross, as a victorious warrior, he cries out, "It is finished." And all of heaven shook. And the angels wondered, "Who is this King of glory?" And on the third day, he rose back into heaven, coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lord mighty in battle. The question that I would have for us is, will we allow the King to come in? I don't want us to be like the Jewish people of the day when Jesus came in and just shouted Hosanna, but to receive Hosanna. You see, we can sing and we can shout and we can be around God's people and we can be around the presence of God, yet not know him. It's not enough just to shout his name. You've got to open up the gate of your heart and let the King come in. Now, on Sunday mornings, I don't just assume that everyone who comes to church on Sunday are believers. You know, some of you have never let the King of glory into your heart. You've never let him in. You've denied him, rejected him. Maybe you think that it's all foolish. But that's why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's going to be a day. Guess what? When the gates of heaven come open once more, and Jesus steps once again out of the heavenly realm into the earthly dimension, and when he comes back this second time, guess what? He's not coming back as the Lamb. He will come back with the roar of the Lion of Judah as the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every nation will bow before him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will be a day when America crumbles. There will be a day when Russia is disbanded. There will be a day when China is shattered, when North Korea is no longer. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come, and he will set up his kingdom, and his rule will be forever and ever and ever. For he is the true King. He will bring, and he will make a new heaven and a new earth. Everything that we hold dear, all of the material things that we spend our time, energy, and effort trying to accumulate for ourselves will be gone. Everything will be destroyed with fire. And John, in his revelation in 21, he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth have passed away." He says, "I saw a new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. And it will come down as a bride adorned for a groom. And Jesus will once again stand and declare, 'I am he.'" And everyone who has not confessed Jesus as Lord will not enter into his kingdom. Watch this. Who can stand in his presence? Who can climb the holy hill? As the city comes down, verse 22 of Revelation 21 says this, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his presence? Only those who have been made pure by the blood of the Lamb. Only the redeemed will enter the city of God. All others will be cast out to outer darkness. And here's the danger, and here's the scary thing to think about. Because as pastor of Living Water Church, my prayer would be that every single person who walks through these doors will enter the city of God. How sad it would be to have come to church and hear God's word and hear the voice of God and shut the gate to your heart and never let him in. Because Jesus said, for many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do this in your name? And he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. To be around it, but never in it. While the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Jesus is the mighty warrior that battles for salvation and conquers sin, death, hell, and the grave. And his eyes are like blazing fire, and his hair like white wool, and he has a golden sash on him. His feet are burnished bronze. He is holy and majestic, and he's mighty and he's powerful. He is the King. That's where our hope lies. Do you know him? Are you trusting in the Lord God Almighty? Open up the gates. Open up the doors, O ancient doors. Why? So that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong, mighty in battle. Who is the King of glory? His name is Jesus. He is the King of glory. Do you know him? Let's pray. Father, we come recognizing you for who you are. You are truly majestic and all-powerful. You own the title deed to the earth. We are all dependent upon you, God. There's nowhere that we can go that you're not there. There's nothing that we can do that you cannot see, for you look inside the hearts of every man. So, Lord, today, you know those who are redeemed and those who are not. You know the hearts of those who are struggling right now, those who do not claim faith right now. Would your Holy Spirit speak and touch and open up eyes? And Father, for those of us who know you, who've experienced your grace, may we see you for who you truly are, as the Lord God Almighty, high and lifted up. And may we bring our burdens, our cares, our petitions to you. In Jesus' name, amen.